To our mothers and our sisters and our daughters and to you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Women's Fire. I'm your host, Michelle Thomas. Thanks for being here today. Look, I did the exact same thing I always say. Autopilot. Anyway, I have a different kind of episode for you today, and it's something I've actually been thinking about for a while that I was going to incorporate into a regular episode. But when this week was coming and I didn't have a guest and I was just going to let it go, and that's fine, I actually thought about maybe just making this a special short episode so that I can start incorporating this. And what it is what has come to be known as a check-in. When I was hosting Women's Fires previously, there would usually be some sort of a check-in where we kind of went around the circle and anyone who wanted to check in with, you know, just kind of like what's going on in their life and struggles, successes, things they're excited about, any of those things, we would just kind of go around and, you know, chat about it, hopefully get around the circle, you know, and with enough time for everybody to share who wanted to share. And so today I'm going to check in, and I really encourage you to possibly in the comments on social media, if we can build a little bit of a community there, to check in with how you're doing. And if not that, maybe you call a friend or a sibling or a parent or talk to your spouse or whatever, but just do a check-in. And check-ins are pretty informal, you know, just whatever's kind of coming up for you. But I've got three things that I'm going to share with you today. So the main thing that's going on in my life right now is that my husband is a tax accountant and we are in tax season. And so this is a season of our year, every year, over the past many years, that there's just a big shift. I do become mostly a single parent. He is working long hours. This has looked different, obviously, as we've had kids in different ages. And this, it's getting easier, I will say, as not only are we becoming more intentional about this time, but my kids are just getting older. I'm just not as tired. Like even the fact that he's at work right now, it's a Saturday morning, but I have kids at home who are old enough to be at home alone and watch younger siblings or whatever. That just makes a huge difference in our life. It brings a lot more balance. So I'll tell you some things that I actually really like about it is that there's no one to negotiate and coordinate with. I'm doing everything. So then I just get to decide. And I wouldn't want that all the time, but there's some freedom in that for sure. You know, I just decide what's for dinner or what we're doing or whether or not the kids can do whatever they ask to do. I just kind of be the captain of the ship. And so there's a lot of freedom in that. And then also because it's over winter, I find myself kind of tapping into that when I was a homeschool mom, stay-at-home mom, tapping into some of the creativity that I liked, you know, to do with my kids. And for example, this week was winter break from school. And knowing that I have all these kids home from school all week, it can feel really chaotic for me. It's not like when they were little and they all just kind of did the same thing. Like if they all went off to play, they all went off to play together. This is where if I want us to come together, I need to plan for that because otherwise they will go off in their rooms or go play whatever they're going to play, and they're just at different developmental stages. So if you're new to the podcast, I have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and they're just feels very spread out, you know, high school, middle school, grade school, and preschool. So what I did over break, and I've done in the past, is I had theme days, and they all got to decide, or we kind of made a list of what potential theme days, and then chose 5 of them. And so we had, what did we do? Oh, our first day was Animal Day, where they got out all the plastic animals, and they like to do like giant migrations, or they kind of classify them, and they play families, and there's... The truth is, I don't participate in this play, so I don't like free play. It's not a comfortable thing for me, so they do this. And then day 2 was Biome Day, where they picked different biomes and then decorated rooms in that biome. So like my boys' rooms was an ocean biome. One of my daughter's rooms was a Arctic biome. Another one was a mountainous biome. And then I think the bathroom was like tropical oasis desert biome. And they get blankets and pillows and animals and plants and streamers and balloons and construction paper, and they decorate all of that. So that keeps them busy and on task. Day three was Bluey Day. If you haven't seen Bluey, it's a really, really sweet show on Disney Plus for like preschoolers. And we all love it. Like, we will all sit and watch Bluey. It's very endearing, very relatable, very funny. And like I said, if you haven't checked it out, but one of the fun things about the show is they often have a little game that they play that these little girls, they're Blue Heeler dogs, Blue Heeler dog family. And they play these games and they're pretty inventive and creative. So our idea was to watch some episodes and then play out those games that they play. And then the fourth day was Lego Day. We got out all the Legos. Kids could play with Legos on a big sheet in the living room. And then yesterday was Doll Day. And I will tell you, the momentum really ran out toward the end of the week as, you know, there were playmates coming over. There was, you know, just general, like, my son's really into Rubik's Cube. He wants to do that all day. My daughter's in, she's in a book series that she really wants to read. My other daughter's off on a service trip up in La Crosse. And then my youngest is just happy to play with whatever toys are laying around. So we didn't really do Doll Day, which is a little bit disappointing because we've got, you know, it's cute to see them revisit old toys and stuff like that, you know, from earlier in their childhood. Anyway, so that felt really good to pull together for the kids so that they at least were spending some time together, because that just doesn't naturally happen all the time anymore. So I felt pretty good about that. And obviously, what's hard about it is that Chris is gone. He is an awesome partner and father, and just we enjoy having him around, and he brings a lot of levity and laughter and a great sense of humor. And so everyone's a little more, it's just a tense time of year for us. You know, like, I'm a little bit more on edge and tired, and he's obviously worn out and tired, and the kids miss their dad. And over the 3 months or whatever till April 15th, the tension kind of builds over that time. So we don't love it. We're learning to adjust to it, and it's fine. And I guess the other thing that I would just say about it is that Chris and I have been a lot more intentional about our relationship during this, because that is very easy to put on the back burner, because we just have to like keep the house running and make sure all the kids get to where they need to get and all of that. But you know, we are trying to make sure we make time to connect and go out on a date occasionally and do more than just manage the household together. So we're getting better at that as well. All right, so that's the general tax season that's going on in my life. The second part that just seems to be filling up a lot of space right now is parenting, because I guess I hadn't really thought about what it might be like to parent four children in four different developmental stages all at the same time, and what I'm going to need to bring to that space. You know, adolescence is a hard time for everybody. I don't think there's a way to do it that isn't just full of kind of angst and wondering and feeling left out and feeling self-conscious and all of that, you know, for the kids. And then also for the parents, like, I don't know. There's just some days I'm like, I'm definitely doing this wrong. I'm definitely screwing this up. And then other times I'm like, no, they have a good foundation. I just have to kind of be a safe container for them to go through this. And I feel like I focus a lot on what they're going through and then how I feel about their experience. I'm talking about my two girls. But what I've come to really want to focus on more that I think is more helpful for me is, you know, part of what I'm going through is, like, I would say fear and grief. Like, fear that I just want them to be, like, happy and well-adjusted, and feel accepted and a part of the whole and to show their talents and shine and just, I mean, honestly, I just want them to feel good all the time. And I know that's not realistic. So, you know, just wanting things to be okay, I guess I would say. And then something I'm coming to now is the grief of the change, you know, that they are individuating, you know, from not only us, the parents, but the family. You know, they're going off and doing things on their own. They don't want to necessarily be at family things. They want to be with friends. And I know that all of this is totally developmentally appropriate, but it like hurts my heart, like when I feel like they're pushing away or against, you know, like, no, we have fun. And because it's more fun when they're there too, right? Like they bring a lot of joy and light to our life. And so, yeah, just dealing with the grief of the fact that this is changing and that it actually will not ever be what it was when they were all just like little and around and we were like this just one cohesive unit, you know, of a family. So I think just recognizing that has been really helpful for me. Okay, so that's my family life. It's a little long-winded. Sorry about that. Something else that I discovered, and maybe you have too, because a lot of people that I know who listen to this podcast, another podcast that's kind of in their lineup is Glennon Doyle's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things. And I guess it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, I don't know, but she had Marissa Franco on, who was talking about her book Platonic, and it's about friendship, and really I would say adult friendship, because the way kids make friends is just different than the way adults make friends. And this is something I've been interested in for a very long time as someone who's moved around in my adult life and made friends, but really questioning how deep those connections are. And you know, like I still have acquaintances from places that I've lived before, but we're, you know, not like deep connections with a lot of people, and why that might be. And I definitely want that. Why is that hard for me to feel like I get, whatever. So anyway, of course I went and bought the book because there's been a lot of research coming out that our connections are actually the number one indicator of health and happiness. You can, when it's compared, you know, it crosses socioeconomic lines, health, you know, smoking, even drug use. I think I saw in a study, like, you know, that being socially connected and feeling supported in a social realm is just, it's so important and maybe the most important thing. And so the name of the book is called Platonic, How the Science of Attachment Can Help You Make and Keep Friends. And I'm only like one chapter in right now, but I'm already really excited about it. I think it's important to just examine what we're bringing to the table when we decide, you know, that we want friends and we're like stepping over that vulnerability hurdle to talk to someone or to join a thing where you're going to meet people. And I actually generally like that, but I also want to acknowledge the ways in which I hold back or I question or I, you know, walk away from a conversation thinking, oh, did I say that? Is that, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or they must think I'm weird or whatever. And I think we all do that. So I'm really excited to learn more about how am I showing up in friendship? And that's something that that I'm also going to use in my practice as a therapist, because I would say it's generally, you know, people, when you're insightful and you want to like work on your stuff, it's often that we put that maybe ahead of connecting with other people, or maybe people have like social anxiety, and so they don't force that issue. But the truth is, we really do just all benefit in a big way from social connection. So I want to read that and then be able to kind of present it to clients in that way of, you know, helping prioritize that in their life as well. So, all right. I guess that's it. That's my check-in. I would love it if anybody would check in either on social media, on Instagram or Facebook, and just let us all know how you're doing. And if not in that social way, maybe just reach out to someone in your life and check in with them and let them check in with you. Let's see how we're all doing. All right, everybody, enjoy your week, and I will leave you with Elise Nicole. Take care, everyone.
Beacon to our children to find voices.